Who the fuck did that cost? That busted ass goddamn Adidas. All right, fuck it. One last try. I keep fucking up on these shits. All right, here we go.
I got you. In 3, 2, 1, we are live on air.
What's good, Flag of Hall visitors and Clean Sheet listeners? Welcome back to your favorite podcast. It's the Clean Sheet. We're for, I think, like 7 iterations now. We made it. We didn't get canceled like the baby. Fuck the baby. And this is the Clean Sheet once again, where we break down the best in world football. It's just some guys talking that shit. And today's a today's gonna be a banger, bro. We got an incredible lineup today, bro. So let me show some love to the 4 people who are gonna be joining us today. As always, it's Prince Enrique. Rio, what's going on, bro?
What's up, y'all? It's good to have y'all today for our episode. We got some really good co-hosts today, and I can't wait to have them introduced.
All right, bro. So I know you guys liked the Danny episode. So we gotta go bigger and better. This time we brought the double trouble with us. Good friends of the podcast, good listeners of the podcast, bro. Olu, what's going on, bro?
Hey man, I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah. Oh my god, this guy's so lit. Jeremy, what's going on? You might be muted, but oh there you go.
I got it. It's good, bro. You know, I just keep reminding me every time that I hear Rio with the introduction, bro. I just feel like I'm gonna be on iCarly. I just got to throw it out there, bro. This makes me feel good, you know? I'm like, damn, I made it, you know?
Oh, my God. Bro, this guy's recording from the middle. Since y'all can't tell, he's recording from the middle of a baseball game with his bro. So that shows the dedication. You know what I mean?
Hot out here.
It's hot as hell. He's got the umbrella on.
I do, bro.
Just lay on future prospects.
His mic quality is fantastic. You can't even tell. You know what I mean?
Shout out Apple.
That's facts. But man, we got so much to talk about today. I'm glad y'all are with us because today we do not have our good friend Kareem and Mono. Mono, I mean, is like usual, but Kareem is not with us today. He's unfortunately packing, moving away. So make sure to go show him some love. He's going to be back for the next episode, of course. But we have a lot of to talk about. Obviously, the Olympic Games continued over the last week or so. But I think even more important, and we got to show love to, especially because of the run that Mexico's been on, is the CONCACAF Gold Cup, bro. The semifinals just happened yesterday and the day before. And we also have the final that's scheduled for tomorrow. And I think we could really get no better Central America matchup than USA versus Mexico. Qatar lost to USA in a game that I think, honestly, Qatar kind of took the game to USA. I know a lot of the pros for USA were in display, but still to watch the USA team again kind of struggle was kind of tough, bro. And then Mexico beat Canada 2-1. So it's going to be a Mexico-United States matchup in the Gold Cup final. So is this – did we have any thoughts specifically on the match? And I mean, the final really is a quintessential Central America matchup or America final matchup.
I think the thing I want to speak on is more the U.S. team. They're not doing bad. You know, they don't have most of their, like, really good starters like Christian Pulisic and stuff like that. But they're still making 2 finals and 2 tournaments this summer. So they're doing pretty well, to be honest. I still expect a little bit more from them to develop in their youth program because I think they have one of the best in the world. Yep. To be fair, in terms of countries, I think you just don't invest in it enough, especially in the South Florida area. You got your best players and talent, but most of the money's being going towards the West Coast and stuff like that with your Californias, your Oregons, you know, things like that. But overall, I'm pretty glad that the U.S. is in a final again, but I think they still got work to do, to be honest, because Mexico's going to be the challenge.
Yeah.
And they've always been.
Mexico's played out of their minds for sure in this Gold Cup. And I mean, yeah, I like some of the progression for some of the guys. You obviously saw this who scored the goal. There's a lot of progression there. There is still a lot of work to be done to make sure that we obviously qualify and make sure that this team is going in the right direction, because Pulisic is not going to be able to, and even guys like Weston, like, they're not going to be able to take this team, you know, even the knockout stage of the World Cup, if everyone around them isn't at their best. So what do you guys think, Olu, Jeremy?
I'll let my man Olu go first.
I'm gonna be honest with y'all. I have not watched the Gold Cup at all.
but you know, I would never support American farmers in the first place. So I think that the U.S. are frauds, and Viva Mexico, si se puede.
That's top class and fucking top class analyst shit. Nah, I mean, yeah, I 100%. Jeremy, how do you follow up a statement like that?
I don't think I can, because, you know, I mean, if you guys could see Olu right now, you could see why I can't. But anyways, I don't know. I kind of agree with Rio on how the U.S. has some low-key players that, with the right development, they can make it to the next, you know, the next level. And like Enrique said, guys like Weston and Pulisic, if they go the right direction, they could definitely pull a team like the USA. But I don't know, man. I mean, in the game against Qatar, like Enrique was talking about, they just look flat-footed. Mm-hmm. And Qatar took the game to them all the way. If Qatar scores that penalty, I think it's a completely different game. I think the U.S. is eliminated. And they're missing some senior players, so you got to give them the benefit of the doubt that if those guys are there, it changes the game completely. Flipping over to the Mexican side, I think they're missing Chucky. You know, they're toothless in that attack without Chucky. And, of course, Raul Jimenez being out as well kind of plays a big role. I mean, if they didn't make it to the final in La CONCACAF, they're in big trouble going forward, you know.
Yeah.
The critics destroy them all the time. But, you know, they're there. And I haven't really seen the U.S. play in the Olympics, so I can't really talk about that. So I'm not going to touch that.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely looked like they were missing Chucky, even having to play Hector Herrera a little bit out of position. I mean, he's a veteran guy. He knows his role on the team. But, you know, you have even Funes Mori, who was up top as well, and playing again Herrera out of position. If Chucky was in there, I have no question that they're going to roll over that USA team. But, you know, without him on there, it's a little bit more of a possibility for some underdog shit to happen. So,
I agree.
Yeah, so let's take predictions then on the final. What do we got, USA, Mexico?
I'm going to go first. I'm going to say that Mexico actually wins this one because they always do. So I'm going to say that they're going to win a 3-0.
I'll go 2-0. I don't really – just 2-0. I don't think USA scores on this team. Mm-mm. But I don't think it'll be a 3-0 route. I'll go 2-0.
Olu, what you think?
I think that the U.S. – our farmers once again, and I think Mexico will show them levels. I think wait, is Chicharito still playing?
He's not on it.
I don't see the U.S. getting more than one, and I don't see Mexico losing.
Damn. So full sweep for Mexico. It looks like Mexico will be lifting the CONCACAF Gold Cup. And I mean, you know, even if the USA goes out in the final, hopefully this is the start of a good run where we don't missed the World Cup again. So I don't know why I said we, like, actually care about USA soccer, but you get my point.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. Was I'll serve crack before I serve this country. That's facts. That's completely facts, bro.
Whatever the fuck that means.
Yeah, whatever the fuck that means. But from there, we got to move to something a little bit more exciting, and that's a look. It's time for the second iteration of Let's Look at the Transfer Sheet. Real, we got so many fucking transfers to talk about. That's facts. Olu can't even contain himself. That man going crazy. We got so many transfers here to talk about. Before we actually get into the new transfers, there is one that we do have to round up, and I want to start off with a bang. Last episode, we were talking about how Sancho was not confirmed yet. It is now confirmed. We have the fee. We have everything in line now, so it's confirmed. The last transfer they're going to talk about is another United transfer for a center back and a Real Madrid player. But before we get into that transfer, isolated, Sancho's confirmed now. We touched on it last time, but I really want to hear, Rio, we got your perspective last time. I want to hear what Olu and Jeremy think. What does Sancho bring to this team? And again, I asked it last time. I want to ask it again. How does this mesh with Bruno? Does this up his numbers, lower his numbers?
Go, Luke, go.
I'm a pretty big fan of Sancho, actually. I think he brings offensive creativity. He'll probably benefit the team in the long run. I don't really think Man U needed more attackers, to be fair, because the way they were defending, I think Didn't they get spanked like last year 7-2 by Spurs? Like, if Spurs is showing you levels, obviously something's wrong at the back. So Harry Maguire is a fridge. He's absolutely a liability.
A fridge.
We'll call it. Can I just start slandering, man? You please.
Fuck it, bro. Go ahead. You're a podcast, bro.
All right, Aaron Wan-Bissaka. That's a slide tackle merchant. If he couldn't slide tackle, God, he'd be flipping burgers at McDonald's. Harry Maguire, the most overrated center back of all time. Like, how much did they buy him for? 80? Didn't he tackle his own player? He tackled Luke Shaw against Spurs. Luke Shaw. I'll let him survive. Rashford. They're like, they act like Rashford's the second coming of Christ on Twitter. So, like, I like Rashford, but, like, man, you fans make me dislike him just because of how much they. Oh, don't even get me on McTominay. Oh,
McTominay.
Like, those losers on Twitter were calling him a McTominay sauce. Like, what grown men calling another man
McSauce.
Oh, my God. Bro,
You sound mad.
You were going crazy, but save a little bit for the Varane transfer because I want to make sure we get through these. But good, great fucking points for sure. Jeremy, though, real quick, let me get your thoughts on Sancho, though. What he's bringing to this team.
I don't think they needed him. They have so much on the attacking side. I think they should have. I mean, you know, we'll talk about Varane in a little. So that, but I mean, I think he slots right in perfect. I don't think it affects Bruno that much. If anything, I think you guys talked about it last time. I think it just takes some pressure off of Bruno to produce at such a high level. That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have so many options now attacking-wise that maybe Bruno's spot isn't as solidified, but I think it's a good point. Like, honestly, with the fact that you brought back Cavani, did you really need to spend $100 million on a creative player?
Not on another young guy.
Yeah, I mean, young guys. Yeah. Maybe that's even bigger of a layer to it. An unproven guy, right? Like, you already have so many of those guys. Greenwood, you know.
Yeah, Greenwood. Rashford's still there.
Daniel James, obviously, he's not going to get reps, but
like, that Welsh sprinter. I forgot about him.
Yeah, bro. Young guys that are unproven. Did you really need to spend on a guy like that when you could have brought in a holder, say like Bissouma? I know they were linked with Bissouma. Would have brought them so much, a lot more bite in that midfield. Especially as they've moved away from Matic over the last couple of years, and Pogba continues to show his best going forward. You need someone there that's actually going to do defensive work and is not named Fred. So,
I think it's about that.
I mean, possibly
in the position, to be honest, because like I don't think they can challenge. Like, we're being real here, right? You think that Man United side is challenging against Liverpool, Chelsea, or Man City?
No, I think if Sancho hits the ground running, healthy. Why not?
Yeah, like think about it. Rashford just came off of shoulder surgery. Cavani, you know, he's like 33 something now. Like, he's aging. Martial doesn't show up. Greenwood's the one showing up, to be honest, like, along with when Rashford plays at times. Like, they just needed Sancho to create extra bite in their attack, right? Because now they look like a threatening side.
I agree. Sancho, the only point before Olu goes, though, I agree with that completely, Rio, but the thing is, I don't think you had to spend $100 million, and especially not $100 million on a young player. I think what the squad needed is someone near their prime.
In the midfield.
Someone in their prime, maybe creative from the midfield, but attacker. Just, like, maybe cut the cost a little bit. Go out and spend maybe $60 million on a guy like, I mean, I don't know, maybe
Jose Camavinga. Camavinga himself.
Camavinga.
Right?
No, he would have gone for 100 mil himself. Just
but I mean, I'd rather.
No.
There's no hype for him like that. There's no hype for him like that.
50 at most. 50 at most.
Yeah, that's 40. Savvy business. And it's a guy who's, I mean, like, they just didn't need I agree with Olu and Jeremy that they just didn't need to spend 100 million on an attacker that's unproved. That's really it. And
Sancho's unproven?
Don't tell me you're one of these PL merchants. Please.
Who, me?
Me? Yes. Like, could he do it on a rainy day?
I get you.
You either play or you don't. I mean, look at Hamas. Yeah, if you play, you don't. It's that simple. He's not playing. be that Mbappe or that, you know, that Ronaldo or Messi, the difference maker in the end. I don't think he's going to be.
He's not there yet. He's not there yet.
I definitely think like Enrique said, they should have gone for someone in the midfield with a more defensive mindset, because with Pogba and Kante in France, yo, Pogba roams the midfield and he does whatever he wants and he plays awesome because he knows he's got somebody, backing him up.
You can't ask him to do defensive work. He has to just feel the game, bro. Like he does what needs to get done in the pitch. I agree completely, Jeremy. And the other thing too is, bro, like, I think what I mean is, like, look at the level in terms of, I'm going to use Olu's favorite word, bro, levels. Like, look at Yao Felix, right? Like, when I look at Yao and I look at Sancho, I see one guy's already pretty much living to the potential, like, yesterday, like, right now. I don't see that yet with Sancho at the biggest stage. And maybe he just hasn't been given the opportunity at the biggest stage because Dortmund haven't gone far or won or challenged for a title or anything. But I just think, why do you take Man United now where they're a team that needs – something like they're not a team that's like they need to kind of win now, bro. And I don't know if spending 100 million on a young guy was maybe the best decision, but last thoughts on the Sancho transfer before we move on.
Weren't they like linked to Konate, or was that Liverpool?
Ibrahima Konate was us. I mean, but they got the center back they wanted though with Varane, and I think that's not bad pickup for sure.
No, hell no, it's not. Maguire needed that,
yeah. So from there, let's go on and move to some of the new and confirmed transfers that we talked about. We referenced him last time, but I want to leave him for this episode because I know there's a lot to talk about. That's Ashraf Hakimi coming from Inter to PSG on a $60 million. In my opinion, I'm going to do a spoiler alert. I know we're going to talk about fullbacks later on in the discussion. He, in my opinion, is one or two with Alphonso Davies. He is so good and versatile. He can go for, he can attack. He's savvy. This is, I mean, PSG – no matter what happens the rest of the transfer season, they had the best transfer season. Maybe in the last like 10 years.
They got Wijnaldum for free.
Donnarumma,
and who else on the free?
Ramos. You get three top guys that make a difference.
You got three of some of the best players in world football for free almost.
And they needed to strengthen their midfield because when Verratti isn't playing, like I noticed what they'll do is like, because like Neymar's naturally a winger, but like he can also play as a number 10. So like, whatchamacallit, when Verratti isn't playing or is injured, Neymar would have to like drop deep centrally into like that, like kind of like left type of channel. And I think that's also the reason why he's been picking up so many injuries, because he has to like drop deep, create, and suffer a lot of tackles. So I like that they signed someone like Wijnaldum that can like kind of take the creative responsibility off of Neymar, because like their midfield is like horrendous. Like if you take Verratti or Paredes out of the mix, Fubu. Like who do they have? What's his name? Danilo Pereira.
Yeah, Danilo Pereira, and they were also playing.
I mean, it's better than nothing, but like,
yeah, I like the fact that we talked about it last time, but I think now if they go with that three in the back, they're going to be so good because Marquinhos can kind of either slot into that CDM spot where he's not born a CDM, but he's looked great.
He's not bad.
CDM. No, he can play CDM.
He's looked really good in CDM, and you can have. By far, Kimpembe, Ramos, that's unbelievable. Rio, I know we want to hear from the Verratti, the number one Verratti fan, bro.
That's Piascalu.
But yeah, that's true. That's shout out to him, bro. Go Twitter account.
But for this transfer of Hakimi, I think it just provides something that PSG haven't had in a while, like a really good right back. You know, they signed Dani Alves, and he was already out of age. And stuff like that. He didn't do terrible. They still won league titles and stuff, but they can never challenge for a Champions League with someone like that. And the right backs have been like rather suspect. I know they have a pretty young prospect at right back. I forget his name, and he's not that bad.
Diallo?
Either. Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Diallo.
There no, I think I think Diallo plays left back. Actually, there's like I know who you're talking about. He played in the Bayern game. You're talking about him, right?
Yeah, basically him. He's a really good prospect. Yeah. He's a really good prospect, but I think they definitely needed someone a little bit more proven. That three at the back system is definitely something that Pochettino should definitely be looking at, kind of like a bit of a hybrid it kind of transitions with the Marquinhos moving in and out from center back, like center back out into the midfield. So he has more attacking threat and stuff like that as well. But this PSG side with him is just, you know, it's levels to this game. And they're going to be very exciting to watch in the Champions League and their respective league.
Yeah, you're talking about Colin Dagba, right? Yeah,
yeah,
Colin
Dagba. Yeah, one of those two.
Dagba.
He's yeah. been performing.
No,
well.
No.
This is. Yeah, go ahead.
I can say. Their left back. Their left back. I think his name is Backer. Whatever his friend said. That man is a fraud. Oh my! That man is horrendous. They need a better left back. Watch that. Like I heard that they were linked to like Theo Hernandez from AC Milan. Like if they could get him,
they get him.
That's a steal, but I also don't think they necessarily need – if they go ahead and get something like a three in the back with Hakimi providing support down the right flank, because obviously he can cover, he's an amazing crosser of the ball as well. Like, if they still want to slot in Di Maria in there on that left-hand side, because obviously he can play either side, that's a pretty good, I think, hybrid formation. They could slot back into a four-back if they need to, because Hakimi's obviously very astute defensively. I mean, I think for them – allows for so much dynamism, bro. Like they can change the game mid game and not like the transition will be seamless, bro. And then obviously they don't need to bring in win and attack. You got arguably the best two man punch in world football attacking wise with Neymar and Mbappe. So yeah, I mean, it's a big transfer, bro. It's a big transfer. Jeremy, what you think?
Yeah, you guys touched all the topics. I mean, getting Hakimi, I mean, I don't know what Inter was thinking, to be completely honest.
No, they needed money. They needed money. They were in debt.
I know they needed money, but I mean, I don't know. I don't – not for a guy like that. That guy was single-handedly winning your games. And not just that, but Milan's coming up. Roma's never that bad. Napoli's never that bad. And then, of course, you're always chasing Juventus. So, I mean – but, I mean, you know, they're in debt and they owed money. But, I mean, PSG –
What did they pay Real Madrid for him again?
40 something, I think it was.
Yeah, 40 mil.
That's a steal.
Yeah, it was a steal. I don't know what Madrid was thinking either, because we
they have Carvajal
at the time we sold them.
But they only made 20 million off that guy. That's kind of
We did. Yeah. I don't
know, like Milan, they flipped him for 60 after they got him for 40. Like that's kind of. I think you could have got more out of him.
He's not going for as much. He would go for more if their finances were in order, to be honest. Because like they're literally trying to offload Lautaro Martinez too. They just need money.
Yeah, you saw that report.
Weren't they
going to Arsenal? And mm-hmm. he was like, "Yeah, no, I'm not going to Arsenal."
Who
wants to go to Arsenal? Who wants to go to Arsenal?
Then they spend that money on Ben White, but. All right, so I mean, that was, but it's a good move overall, right? And I mean, PSG, we're going to talk about Champions League favorites, but PSG are obviously in that conversation now. From there, we had one of the more low-key transfers, I think maybe the only transfer from the championship. Emiliano Buendia went from Norwich City over to Aston Villa for a reported $38 million, and he did ball out. He had 15 goals and 15 assists in the championship last year, which is nothing to sneeze at, bro. So is this, you know, he's going to be, hopefully, if Grealish doesn't leave, this is the guy who's going to be sitting next to Grealish every day, probably either taking service or giving out the service himself. But, you know, it shows that Villa are still hungry. And I think it shows that they have a direction past Grealish if it decides to leave, which looks very likely after the summer. I mean, to think about the fact that they made 38 mil off this, they coughed up, sorry, 38 mil off this transfer before the Grealish 100 million that comes in from City. It's pretty crazy to think about, you know, kind of what clout of players they can bring in once they get that 100 million. So what do we think about the move, boys?
I think it's a really good move. You know, you're trying to replace Jack Grealish because he's definitely leaving the city like this summer. Like, no way he doesn't, to be honest, unless things fall through, which most likely they won't. I personally think with that, like, stat line that he has right there, he's definitely going to bring something that Grealish is bringing or even more, to be honest. They're going to look like a threat even from like the middle table sides that are looking towards, and they can definitely like snatch a couple draws or points off the top six if they're really handy with it, to be honest. So it's going to be interesting to watch them again because they had some really good standout performers from last season and performances as well as a team against the big six. So again, like, you know, great piece of business.
Yeah. Olu, Jeremy, what do you guys think?
I mean, I don't know much about him. I don't really want to rely on stats because I can't stand people that are like stat merchants. But because, like, you know, if you pass the eye test as well, like I can tell if you have the sauce when I watch you. But I'll take your word for it. I think it's good business.
No, I mean, definitely. Jeremy, anything that you think that this shows about Villa's ambition?
They're showing they still want to win. You know, there's a world after Grealish. And I mean, I saw that they bid, what was it, like 140 for him? But even then, City's still either him or Kane. So even if he stays with Villa for another season, I mean, seeing him play with Emiliano, I'd like to see that, you know? Not that bad. I like him.
Yeah, I think it shows hard because here's the thing as well for City, honestly. I know a lot of the talk is they're getting both Grealish and Kane, but I'm not – the more I see both of these teams kind of holding out, I'm not sure they can get both. You know, obviously financial fair play would have to come into the mix, but I just don't know if they're able to get both. I'm sure the money's there. Yeah. But I don't know if they'll get both.
Definitely is, over it definitely is.
Yeah. Hopefully they don't get both. But,
yeah, if they get Kane and Grealish, it's GG. Yeah, it's going to be looking like the Warriors in 2016.
It's going to be scary hours, bro. There's literally going to be – yeah, you got the Nets in basketball, you got the Dodgers in baseball, and now probably the Citizens in soccer. So, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Again, he had 79 key passes throughout the season in the championship. Again, it's a championship, but, I mean, come on, bro. You know, he's a key performer, and, I mean, Norwich – are a pretty big club. So from there, Andre Silva went from Frankfurt to RB Leipzig for what I think was a pretty great steal of only 23 million. I have to admit, I have been a little bit biased. I think he's a really good player. I think this is hopefully now the team where he can get settled for once and like actually play at a big stage, because obviously Leipzig are one of the biggest clubs in Germany. So, I mean, yeah, he didn't get the chances he was probably hoping in the Euros, but I mean, it's that Portuguese squad is obviously so stacked. I think this is a good move. This is a good move for Leipzig. Obviously, they're still recovering. They're trying to get Werner's replacement in. And not only could this be Werner's replacement, I think with the numbers he can put up, he might just be like just as good, if not better. I think Forsberg continues to output at the level he has. Obviously, he had a great Euros. I know me and Rio were talking about him a lot. And so if him and Forsberg are able to develop that relationship, It's a good partnership.
Mm-hmm. Dangerous.
Yeah, dangerous.
And they didn't do too bad last season, even without Werner, to be honest.
Yeah, like, they didn't. They didn't.
At all. Yeah. So it's just up and up from there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Olu, what are you seeing so far about Andre Silva?
I mean, I haven't watched him play that much, but from what I've seen, I think he's a solid striker. And I definitely think he'd be a solid replacement for Werner. Mm-hmm. And by the way, don't sleep on Werner.
Oh my god.
It's GG. I know he has Morata's finishing right now. But just
he has Morata's finishing, but he scored 28. Yes. He scored 28. So I mean,
I was about to say that's a bit harsh. Even I don't fuck with Timo, but like Morata finishing, really?
Nah. Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen
Morata. Yeah, score I saw him miss a few. Like did you watch the CL final?
I did,
bro. He missed three chances. Even against three clear cuts.
Against Madrid, I thought he was gonna miss that goal he scored in front of goal because he missed in the.
Me too.
The game before that, Jesus Christ, that guy was poor guy. I feel bad for him.
And for y'all out there, if you don't know, I don't know if we actually had introductions. If you can't tell by now, obviously, Olu is a Chelsea fan, and Jeremy, just as Kareem, is a Real Madrid. So, unfortunately, we got two of the worst fan bases on this play.
You're literally a Liverpool fan.
Not Liverpool.
You're literally a Liverpool fan.
No, fuck that. But anyways, final thoughts. What do you think about Andre Silva to Leipzig? I think it's a good move. I think this could be the step. I know last time, again, Rio, we were talking about how I think in football, kind of that mid-tier transfer's been removed. And I think this is a great mid-tier transfer. If he shows out at Leipzig, which is kind of that mid-tier club as far as like world football goes, this could be the stepping stool for him to go, you know, say Juve, say Inter, say, you know, a Premier top six club. So I like it. It's a good move.
Yeah.
So
that's what I like to hear. I wish you would have stayed at Frankfurt, though, because Frankfurt's
– yeah, he's putting up good numbers.
My Colombian dog, Rafael Santos Borré. And I would have liked to see them play up front together, bro. Because I love Andre Silva.
Represent.
That guy's going to ball up at Leipzig, to be honest.
That's facts. And from there, I know last time we talked about PSG getting Donnarumma, but they got the other – not the other. What the fuck am I saying? They got Alphonse Areola to shipped out over from PSG to West Ham. It's on a loan as far as I know right now. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, West Ham – I'm not going to say this is the most ambitious transfer. It's not Jay Ling's on a permanent, but it's definitely a direction, I guess, bro. You know, Ariel has been kind of, unfortunately, he coming up, he was obviously very promising. You know, we all remember back in the day, the Areola jokes. But he was obviously a very good keeper for a couple of years. And it seems like right now he's just trying to get that first team basis. And he's just not finding that. So hopefully West Ham is a place for him.
Yeah, I personally think that, yeah, it's a really good place because last season he was loaned out to Fulham. They got relegated. Would I say that's more his fault? Nah, I think the defense was just shoddy, to be honest. And, like, I don't think he had a bad season, but it wasn't a good one. West Ham is definitely a side that is more mid-table and can definitely test his keeping ability. So, PSG can really get, like, a really good, like, evaluation of how good he really is. Because they already have Kaylor, which is going to be backup to Donnarumma, most likely. And
they have eight keepers. So they violated.
Probably Sergio and Trapp are still, like, on budget or something.
Somewhere, bro.
Somewhere. Kevin Trapp and Sergio are in there. But, yeah, West Ham, what do you think, Olu?
Who do they – oh, Areola. I think he's solid. I don't think he's played enough for PSG, but I think he's solid. I think that's good business. But what I will say is that they violated Keylor Navas because I remember I was watching. I think it was the Bayern game, the first leg, bro.
Bro, it was he was unstoppable. He kept them in the game.
He kept them like without him, they would be on life support.
Navas,
like they'd Navas have to pray.
Yeah, Navas might be, and this is obviously so tough for me to say because obviously I don't like Real Madrid. Navas might be.
I think he's our best keeper.
I'm gonna ask you guys this question: is Navas? I think he might be the most underrated keeper of all time.
I have to agree 100%. I mean, when he got there, everyone was like, "Why did we sign him? He should have gone out to De Gea." And
he wasn't. The only reason he was there is because they at last minute Casillas left, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
And then they didn't get De Gea with the paperwork that same season. Then he had to be.
No. That was like two seasons later.
What was that?
That was two seasons later because we got him in the after the 14 World Cup. But everyone was like, oh, he's good. And then we got him, and they were like, oh, he sucks. And then it was in the transfer window of 16. 16 or 17?
I think it was 16.
It was 16 that the paperwork fell off at the last minute. And, like, Navas was on the plane, like, going to United to sign paperwork, bro. And they're like, yeah, the facts didn't work. Like, bro.
No, that's true. But I didn't mean when he came in that he came in because of that. I meant because they were trying to get the head and be his replacement. Yeah. And then the paperwork fell through, so they were stuck with him. And then Real Madrid.
No. But that never happened. We just never agreed on terms with United at the time. I don't even remember them making a bid, bro. We were 14. I don't remember them making a bid at the time.
It was the whole. I think the whole transfer saga. The reason Navas came into Madrid was because of Casillas. To be honest, because they had Casillas and Lopez.
If that's what you're asking, yeah, we had Diego Lopez and Iker, and Iker was having problems with Florentino.
Yeah, but point is, he's been disrespected. I mean, Areola now hopefully can start that revenge tour, just as Navas has over the last couple of years, because. I mean, you got to feel bad for Navas. Team.
Like, severely 100%.
100%. Disrespected in Madrid, then goes to PSG. Saves him. I mean, in the...
Bro, he has saved Champions League final.
In the Champions League final, he was saving their ass, bro, after quarantine.
I think, we were talking about it last time, but I think there's a good opportunity now for a team that needs at least... you know, goalkeeper to go ahead and get one that's more than elite for under 20 million in Navas now. You look at Juventus. I obviously would take Navas over Chesney any day, any night.
I kind of found it stupid, you know, because after La Copa America, bro, Juventus weren't on Ospina, and I was like, bruh,
ridiculous.
How? It was ridiculous because they weren't in on Donnarumma and they should have been in on Donnarumma. And now that Navas needs a team, first team, bro, and he's still playing at a high level, I don't know why Juventus aren't calling them right now, bro.
I thought Donnarumma, I'm pretty sure I had heard, maybe this was false, but I pretty much I had heard Donnarumma say he didn't want to go to Juve. But
yeah, he didn't because it was a Italian conflict, you know. Yeah. That man was loyal till the end.
But anywho, from one PSG transfer to the other, we got to talk about, again, Boston, absolutely Boston. And I'm really mad about this, so I'm probably going to rant once I let you guys talk about it. Jorginho Wijnaldum did go from Liverpool to PSG on a free. And his wages are also very, very decent.
Stay mad. And
he, yeah, I mean, he went over to PSG on a free. Look, bro. FSG Sports Group, what are you doing, bro? This was a loyal servant of the fucking squad, bro. This is the guy who made La Remontada, the real Remontada, not the Barcelona Remontada, the real Remontada. All right.
That
made it possible.
Mickey Mouse comeback. That's what that was.
Yeah, okay.
That Mickey Mouse corner.
You're talking about the La Remontada, right? You're not talking about
Barcelona. I'm talking about this. No.
I'm talking about those four Mickey Mouse goals. That's what I'm talking about. They made that
given to them?
Bro. What's his name? With the striker? He's like Belgian. Origi? He's Belgian. They made Origi look like R9. Oh my!
How is that Mickey? Barcelona are just they did not have a good back line.
That corner still haunts me.
Oh my god! Here come the excuses with the everything.
I still have PTSD from that corner.
That's where my agenda against
Trent started.
That four was completely warranted. But point is, Wijnaldum played a huge role in that. And he's been arguably, I think, the most consistent performer in this Liverpool side of the last 6 years. He's been one of the most consistent players in the Prem. And he's still world-class. I mean, he showed you that in the Euros. He was one of the few guys in that Dutch team that could surpass the De Boer disaster class, as Rio said. This is a guy that should not be going on a free, especially when you look at Liverpool, how they've been so penny-pinching over the last couple of years. Do a sign and get him out for at least 20 to 30 million. He's still a guy who's in the top of his game. He's going to now go to a PSG squad that's loaded. Great savvy business by PSG. Terrible by Liverpool. Rio?
I agree. That's all I have to say. He touches on everything.
Absolutely shithousery. Go ahead, Olu. Let's hear what you got to say.
God is good. You know, Liverpool, the bud. Who do they have in midfield, when they're relying on Henderson and Milner, like
the greatest duo in the world, bro.
Yo, you know that's crazy, bro. Because Henderson came off an injury and still came on for England, bro.
Because he's that good.
In February, he sprained his ACL, I think, and he just came back now, but. The midfield, they got it now. Now they got to bring someone in midfield. So we'll see what they do about it. Jeremy, what do you think about the transfer?
They finessed Barcelona and they finessed Liverpool.
They did. So we forgot about that. Barcelona literally.
They had a contract waiting for him to sign, bro. Everyone was like, oh, Barcelona going to be so gross with Wijnaldum.
Psych!
PSG came in and souped it. Yeah, that's facts.
They did. That's oil money, bro.
That's facts. All right, and another pretty low-key. We got a couple low-key transfers now before we get to two big ones. Angelinho moving from Man City over to Leipzig for $60 million. Honestly, I think Man City completely fleeced Leipzig. How do you get $16 million out of this guy, bro? I mean, this is unbelievable. Angelinho went over to Leipzig from City for $60 million. I mean, every time
a guy
I think
who
of
barely
Angelinho,
plays.
Yeah, every time I think of Angelinho, I think about when
Liverpool. He showed Man U levels. He's the reason why they're in Europa. You're talking about the bald guy, right? The bald guy, right?
Yes, Angelinho. Oh, yes, hey, yes. Every time I think of him, I think of when Liverpool absolutely fucked City 3-0, and that's because Angelinho was playing the back line. But yeah, Angelinho somehow it was worth $60 million in this market.
Right in a COVID market.
In a COVID market, he was worth just $7 million less than Andre Silva. Get that in your head. Get that in your head real quick.
No. I can't. I refuse to acknowledge that they finessed Leipzig like that.
God, man. Like, they don't need the money, and they got so much for so little. So, I mean, let's look at the positive side. What are Leipzig getting, Rio?
Well, they had him last season, and he didn't do too bad, as all of you are saying. Like, to be honest, he did really well against Manchester United and showed them levels, to be honest.
I mean more so, like, what are they getting now, like on a permanent basis?
They have him, they have a really good attacking left back who can just attack. Maybe his defense is quite shoddy, but he's a pretty decent attacker. He gets up across the left flank, and when you least expect it, there's a cross and there's a goal. So
he's 2 feet fucking tall
for 16 million.
Well, I'm glad we have you on the podcast here, because we all completely shout on him. But you know what? Let's how about we bring it in together and let's collectively shit on a player that I know we all can collectively shit on. That's Matteo Guendouzi going from Arsenal over to Marseille.
Mickey Mouse fraud. Oh my gosh. Like, he's a hair merchant. It's like if Tarzan was signed professionally, that's who he is. Like, he has like I remember Arsenal fans were like acting like he was the second coming of Zidane. Where's he from? Algeria? Where's he from again?
Yeah, he's French.
Fraud, actually. Like, the only highlights I've seen of him, like, I remember his hair was getting pulled. Yeah, he's an absolute fraud. Yeah, anyway.
I'm dead.
Go ahead, I didn't miss out on pay for these people.
Yeah, I mean,
I thought I was a mad hateful
person. Rio, Guendouzi, any thoughts?
Me?
Yeah, any thoughts on Guendouzi?
Well, I don't think he offers that much, you know. His performances have always been less than subpar, which is, you know, it's not even because the Arsenal team is terrible. It's just because you're bad. Like, I don't know what you provide defensively, offensively, but it's never been a good outlook at all. So,
God, bro, this is about to become the Shitting on the Gunners podcast. Well, let's not waste time then, if we all agree. Another transfer, we just shat on Arsenal. We got to shit now on Chelsea, right? I mean, Fiacco Tomori from Chelsea to Milan for 27 million. I thought the fee's actually pretty good for Chelsea. 27 million from Tomori. He's not bad, because he does have a bit of upside to him, but obviously it's just not going to happen at Chelsea when you have someone who established guys. I mean, now they're talking about bringing in Jules Koundé from Sevilla as well. And obviously you still have Rudiger in there, and Christensen still has upside to him as well. So Tomori was never really going to fit into the squad. 27 million for him, I think, is good. I think Milan needed some cover with the fact Donnarumma's left. But I'll let the Chelsea guys take it away from here.
I personally thought, good piece of business, you know, looking on like what Tuchel has in store, and the fact that Tomori would never actually fit in. It's just like Zuma as well. Like, those two, they're prone to mistakes in their own right. I don't think they're going to offer too much on the ball, to be fair, when it comes to like how Tuchel wants to play compared to Christensen and Rudiger. So it was really good that they actually, you know, are going to come out, and we're going to get some new players like Jules Koundé, who we're linked with and stuff. So it's going to be nice to see Fikayo actually get some game time in Milan, but he was never going to fit into Chelsea. You know, hopefully he'll come back one day, but you know, he doesn't fit right now.
Yeah, and he was alone last year as well, and I thought his numbers weren't bad. I just had them up, but he didn't look too bad. But I mean, now Tomori obviously has a place where he's much more secured. And again, he just doesn't fit the Tuchel blueprint. So it's good that it's a good, definitely good business. 27 million for a guy like him. Sheesh.
Are you talking about Tomori to AC Milan?
Yeah, that's where we're on, Olu.
No, because my connection was doing the whole
thing. No, it's all good. We saw you. What's your thoughts, big man? What you thinking?
I'm kind of sad that we let him go, but, you know, we still won the UCL, so, you know, I'm still on that high. But, you know, it's on to bigger and brighter things. I mean, what center backs do we have right now? I think Zuma and
Rudiger. Wait, does Rudiger still play for us?
Who? Yeah, we have Christensen, Rudiger. Yeah.
When was the last time you went to Chelsea game?
The Champions League final.
Is that the only one you watched?
No.
Hey, yo.
I just wanted to know if Cahill was still at the club.
No, he went to the championship.
I haven't seen him in a minute.
He went to the championship. I wonder why. Or Villa, and then he went to the championship.
Oh, yeah, he went to Villa. Yeah, my bad. Never mind.
Who is it that you like again, Olu?
Corby.
Wait, what? What team do you like again?
Oh, all right, this man's going to try to call me a fake fan. Okay. Okay, what team do you like?
Man didn't even answer the question.
I don't know. Why aren't you answering?
He's a Madridista. We told you.
My heart bleeds blue. Don't try to play me.
I mean, you're here asking about the hill, and I haven't seen that man in years.
What are you talking about? John Terry next? John Terry's gone.
Allow me.
He's also going to start asking about Cesc Fabregas and Fernando Torres.
Chill out.
No, I think
Ramirez too. Ramirez
and William.
Oscar. I'm China, if you're wondering.
I know that.
I think he won China Player of the Year, actually, Oscar. I think he won Chinese Player of the Year like last year.
He took that payday, baby.
And an achievement?
I mean, it's not, but I'm just saying, bro. You know? But anyways, Tomori's going over there, so big deal. Now we got two big transfers. Not that big, but big definitely in fee. And one, again, is Arsenal somewhat actually making a move. It's Ben White for Brighton. And again, even when Arsenal make a move, I'm shaking my head at how unsavvy of the business it is. Ben White from Brighton to Arsenal. Look, sure, he's cool and all, right? 50 fucking million.
50?
Yes, reported 50 million for Ben White. Crazy. I mean, we talked last episode about the English tax. This is no better example. There's no better example of this.
But yeah, English
50 million. Hakimi went for 10 million more than Ben fucking White.
Yeah. We're talking about a guy who fucking sucks.
That is 50 billion for him.
He's good.
Blind. They robbed them blind. They robbed them blind. Oh my.
Brighton did rob. That Brighton definitely cashed.
When you're Arsenal, I don't know who was negotiating. Get a player.
Unbelievable.
Whoever negotiated that deal was off the head. There's no way he was sober during that transaction.
It was Stan Kroenke. Stan fucking Kroenke. Get him out. No, but in all realness, though, like when you look at a club like Villa, right, making a savvy move like Emiliano Buendia for 38 million, like you just got to look at this transfer and be like, this is just Arsenal business. You know what I mean? They don't make business. And even when they do, they pull off like a Lacazette or an Aubameyang deal. And it's like good for maybe a season or two. And then it's just, they get poached by United and then they turn up at United or something. This is unbelievable.
Or they don't turn up at United. Look at Sanchez, my man.
I mean, possibly.
Oh, yeah. United, just, you go to United to kill your career.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Falcao went to United, destroyed his career. Sanchez pulled up.
Di Maria?
Destroyed his career. Almost.
All right. Well, yeah. Let's keep pushing. Then, Rio, final thoughts on Ben White, real quick, because we got to keep it moving.
Let's be honest here. Arsenal is just a mid-table club with pockets, so and they are meant to be robbed. Like it's literally like if you gave a baby $100 million to play in poker, in a high-stakes table with the best pros in the world.
Yeah.
So
it's got what the old in the mud. It's like stealing.
And the $100 million that got placed there is heritage money from the past. Like they didn't, like the baby had nothing to do with it. You know what I mean?
Pretty much.
So
you could have just said the old saying, bro. Yeah. Stealing Kenny from a baby. You didn't have to say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pretty much. There you go.
Fuck the Invincibles.
They can't even get top four anymore.
Yeah. Fuck the Invincibles. I love Thierry Henry. But I like Sol Campbell a little bit, but fuck the Invincibles, fuck Arsenal, they're in the mud. All right, Rafael Varane finally confirmed. Real Madrid went ahead and gave him to United. I believe the fee's undisclosed, but Rio, since you're the expert, did you hear anything about the fee? Anything?
I think it's between 60 or 80 mil. 60.
Okay.
Yeah, 60 or 80 mil.
Yeah, so 60 mil, which is probably what I thought it was going to be, from Real Madrid United. So what does this mean? Slabhead now has a new partner. To be honest, even though obviously Varane has so much more left in the tank than Ramos, I think a smarter move, honestly, in my opinion, would have been Ramos because he's proven. And he still got, Ramos still has probably two, maybe even 3 years of being a top level center back.
Wait,
and the fact that that would rub off on Maguire, even though I hate Maguire to the core, maybe that makes him a little bit more, you know, it's like when LeBron and D-Wade, you know, like way top LeBron kind of had to really win. Maybe that happens with Maguire. They went with the other guy.
Are you really complaining Maguire to Wade?
Bro, I said Wade is Ramos. I'm not – you're saying I'm comparing LeBron and Maguire? No, I'm not. I'm just saying that happened. Come on now.
Hold on. Wait, you said Ramos is proven. You don't think Varane is?
Varane's not proven? He's proven, but he's not showing, as proven as fucking Ramos. What?
Yeah, but I think what with that, I agree with that. Is the fact that Varane is way younger and he's way faster, bro. I mean, bro,
he's so much more error.
Those top three, but I mean, Ramos is on the wrong side of 30, bro. My man's almost 35 now. You think he's keeping up with City? Even with Tottenham themselves, bro. Yo, I can't think of a single slow team in the Premier League. Outside of James Rodriguez, no one is slow, bro.
Arsenal.
And Maguire is pretty fucking slow, too.
Yeah, he's a fridge.
I don't think this is a bad transfer. I definitely don't think it's a bad transfer. If there's any sort of bad transferisms in here, it's maybe the fee. But even then, I mean, Rafael Varane's a World Cup winner. He's a Champions League winner. You're going to have to cough up a lot of money.
Locked up and dealt with, you know, Messi, Neymar,
Mbappe.
World-class players. So.
Like, what do you mean he's not proven? Like, he's not. His clean sheet, his stat sheet, everything proves it.
He fits I never said he's not. Hold on.
You said, you know, they should have went for Rebels because he's proven.
All right, bro, listen.
He's
bro.
Not even a problem. That's a bargain.
I'm going to tell you a little secret, right? He's proven. He's a World Cup winner. He's obviously proven. I'm saying when it comes to the more proven of the two,
he's basically saying he's not
you could
Dijk,
have,
all
right? Right, right. Yeah, if you could get Ramos for free, not pay a penny.
I'm still taking Varane.
Yeah, because Ramos is still aging.
Sure. You could take Varane for 80, 60 million. I just think for free, if the finances were an issue, which sure, they're not for United. Ramos was not a bad idea. PSG got him. You know, it is what it is.
Could have gone for both.
You could have gone for both, but now Kimpembe is going to develop under the leadership of one of the best center backs of all time. It's fine. I get it. Anyways, Rio, what's your thoughts on the transfer?
I think it's an amazing transfer for them. Out of all the transfers they could have made, even better than Sancho, to be honest. Because, like,
I agree.
How many clubs have been trying to get Varane for, like, the last five seasons, bro? Almost every top club. And Ramo just says, he's not for sale. Next thing you know, United gets him this season. Unexpectedly. No one expected that.
Well, Madrid are having a bit of a fire, so, but yeah, I agree.
And he had been talking about leaving since last year, too. He was saying he wanted a new challenge, as if, you know, United are a challenge.
Yeah, and out of all clubs, Chelsea were looking at him too, as well. But we decided to go on Jules Koundé. You know, it wasn't in our plans, and he wanted United. You know, like that's levels for them that they want him, that he wants them. To be honest, so, and it's a challenge for him. It's definitely a new atmosphere that he's gonna have to get used to, a lot of pressure. But to be honest, that's a really good piece of business for them. Like that's gonna up their game, no matter what. Like. They're going to have a solid defense.
Solid. Yeah.
He's going to cover Maguire's back because Lindelof was way too slow to do that.
Yeah, Lindelof is just a fraud, really. I don't know what he offers.
I honestly think – I know we talked about – I think it was like the second episode we talked on this. I thought Bailly was good. He just got too much injuries. So, you know.
Yeah, facts.
All right, so that is it for the transfer sheet for today, but we're going to go ahead and now move on to some juicy discussions. This is going to be good.
Wait, actually, before we move on, did you guys see Alaba's contract? 100 mil?
Yeah, yeah.
That was crazy.
That's over how many years? 100 five mil, or four?
Bro. I'm actually – it kind of
– five.
It kind of puts a Band-Aid on the wound because I don't know if Bayern – maybe that's the reason why Bayern let him go. It's just the wages would have been a lot, but – Madrid. What? Fuck it. We'll start with this discussion then, since we're segueing on from Madrid anyways. I want to ask you guys, this is a topic that it's not stemmed from Jeremy, but I definitely directed it from Jeremy's ideas. And that is, I think it's a pretty interesting discussion. We were going to have the Ronaldo debate, but just obviously we're not going to have time for that today. Which Spanish giant of the two, so don't say Atletico, has the most positive outlook in the next 3 to 5 years? Is it financially inept Barcelona, or is it the tyrant Florentino ran Real Madrid. Let me start Let me start with Oldu, bro. I need to hear what this guy has to say.
Honestly, even though I'm a Barca fan, I'm probably going to go with Real Madrid because I think Barca are very over-reliant on Messi. Like, and whatchamacallit? Like, the business, the way they've been conducting business in the transfer windows, like, for, like they wasted all their Neymar money. Like, bro, paying for, like, how much did we pay for Dembele? Because I know when Dembele was at Dortmund, 13. He was ridiculous. 115. Like, I know Dembele, when he was at Dortmund, he was ridiculous. Like, he used both feet. Very good, creative, can assist and score, but like, bro, he's been in the hospital more than he's been playing. Like his That's second right. home is basically the hospital. And then we paid. How much did we pay Liverpool for Coutinho?
190. No, was it? No, it was more.
It's like
Euros or pounds? Are we talking?
It was 140 euros, wasn't it?
140 something plus add-ons that like we've literally been paying. So it's like he played 200 million for
scaled up to that
for like 200 million. Like,
we got the best center. Yeah, go ahead.
But the way we fumbled. Like, and then that and compared with like their over reliance on Messi, like, I just don't think. I think like, because especially because like the greats from La Masia, like the talent that they've Like, I'm not saying that, like, oh, we aren't, like, still producing top talent because I think Pedri impresses me a lot. I think he's very composed on the ball. And I'm not going to say, like, he's, like, Iniesta. I'm not going to – don't slander me. I'm not going to blaspheme. But I think Trincao, Pedri, who's the center back that was, like, locking up Mbappe in the second leg of the PSG?
Guizar Araujo or
– That's a
Yeah, I think they're all decent, but like I don't think La Masia is what it used to be. I think they're very over reliant on Messi, so I think that's gonna bite them. Like as soon as Messi retires, I feel like they're just gonna start crumbling.
I think they'll be better when he retires.
That's blasphemous. I'll give my two cents in before I get one of the hot headed Jeremy Rio in there. But honestly, here's the thing, bro. I think in the next 3 to 5 years. Madrid has so much more control over their future than Barca. But I think in terms of what they have right now, I would actually say, believe it or not, Barcelona. They have Depay. They have Aguero. They haven't offloaded Griezmann yet. But if they do, then obviously this could change. They still have Messi for another 3 to 4 years. They still have young guys like Pedri, Eder Garcia, Enrique Puig. I kind of like the Barca team more, but obviously the one who has more, like, I think about it like this, right? The one that has a lot more control over the steering wheel is Madrid because they still have the finances for it. They still have the attraction of the club. They have still a lot of big name guys who want to stay there. But in terms of who they have right now in the next 3 years or so, I think Barca squad looks a little bit better. Obviously this could change if they go ahead and get the clout and bring in Mbappe. But I just think right now, Barca has a bit more of a brighter kind of outlook, but Madrid can change that more than Barcelona can.
Jeremy?
I hate Barcelona, and I hate Messi. I mean, I think they're in the gutter right now. They're not – I mean, I don't think they have a better squad than Madrid do, but losing Ramos and Varane are a huge blow. And we still don't have any, like
– They don't have cover in the midfield. Modric is
– Yeah, Modric is old and
Cruz is old as well.
Cruz is very
I know he runs on like one leg and I don't even and Hazard, what a fucking waste. I wish he was with Chelsea. Yeah,
true. He spent more time in McDonald's.
it's what Enrique is saying. Barcelona have no money going forward. I mean, they just got a $700 million contract with Messi, bro. Like we're talking about
I think it's 500.
Yeah, he embezzles a lot. His dad takes the whole blame.
it's not that they make bad moves because Coutinho was playing at a decent level. I mean, Enrique, you're a Liverpool fan. Coutinho was not playing that bad, man.
He wasn't $140 million, bro. Though.
He was a baller, but $140 million.
No, of course not.
And neither was Dembele. I mean,
and Dembele
was
either.
Good, but. They weren't worth, I agree 100%.
Real quick, I'm sorry, Jeremy. This is a very, I just popped up and I really want to get your answers. Is it fair to say that we think in the stage where both players were at, Dembele and Sancho are both kind of been in the same spot before they got their big money move?
I think Dembele was better at Dortmund.
The way people talk about Sancho, I would say differently.
English tax.
But I can.
Well, no, because one went for more than the other, and he wasn't English.
English tax still.
English tax.
In the market, look. If we had both Sancho and Dembele playing at the same time, Sancho would go for more. Sancho wouldn't go for 85 million. He's only going for 85 million in this market. He was evaluated last season before COVID for 120 million.
That's about the same as Dembele went for.
Exactly. It's just the market. If anything,
but if we're saying both of them are equal in terms of playing up to now, like when before Dembele, before Barca, like do you agree? Really?
No,
like,
Dembele had a better. Dembele played better. He's the better talent between the two, yeah, at least in my opinion. When
more injury like prone.
Fully fit, if Dembele's fully fit, you have a double-footed player who can play from either side, who can cut in, who can give a cross in, whose ability is pretty much unmatched in terms of his both-footedness. Maybe if you want to comparatively say Neymar at times, but like for him, like it's easy to do that. Not many players in the world can say I can do both with both foots equally.
And yeah, but he I mean, the problems. End product isn't there though. That's the problem. So I just want to bring that up though, because I think their careers right now, that's what I mean though, right? It's like Dembele obviously has been a flop, not because of his own fault, but he's been a flop. And it's like, not to get off topic,
he's made of glass.
But it's like, what if something around the same thing happens now with the Sancho transfer? But anywho, Jeremy, go ahead, bro. Go ahead. I didn't mean to.
That's fine. I mean, this is that Barca are just screwed going forward. They have no money. But, yep. I mean, neither do Madrid. I mean, our finances are a little bit in order, but Florentino just remodeled the whole stadium for, was it like 600 million?
Yeah.
Well,
terrible decision.
Horrible. I still don't agree with you. Not pay that much for Hazard. I think he would have been better off at Chelsea. But going forward, I think Barca have a more complete squad than we do.
Yeah.
It still sucks, but.
Yeah. But that's a good point. I mean, I think, you know, it's going to be tricky for Barca. Rio, what do you think about the whole situation?
Personally, I think that both clubs are in the mud, in a sense. It's not one or the other who looks better really going forward. I feel like Spanish football has kind of given the reins to Atletico for the next year or two, to be honest. Obviously, they're still going to be competing altogether, but I wouldn't be surprised if Atletico wins it again next season. I think both clubs they're in like this weird transition period, because Real Madrid came off like, hey, we got rid of Ronaldo 2 or 3 seasons ago, right? And now we're rebuilding. We've seen kind of like the damage and the effects of what's happened. You can see with your Ramos is leaving, your Varane's leaving, things like that. People want new challenges because they're not going to win that same stardom without him. You know, like they won La Liga, what, maybe just 2 seasons ago, right before Atletico did. But still, like, in my opinion, at least, like the way like Florentino's trying to like get rid of or offload these like bigger players who are like, you know, getting up in age is just to fund the next generation, you know? So they're not going to be like terrible, because like they're gonna come back in the next 2 or 3 years and get those big name signings that makes Real Madrid Real Madrid, those shirt sales and everything. Your next Mbappe is gonna come in and everything, and then your next players after that who are gonna fill in that space. For Barcelona, like they needed to sell Messi, as Jeremy's saying, the one reason why he thinks that probably that, like, you know, they need to offload Messi is because when the transition period comes, they're gonna have nothing at all. Right? Because it's going to be like, who's going to replace Messi? Who's going to replace Messi? Who's going to replace Messi? No. And no one's going to be there do that job. No one's going to do that job, and no one's going to can for a long, long time. And it's just going to seem like Barca is just going to be a dead squad full of older players who are going to like amount to nothing. And they're going to concede titles to Real Madrid, who's rebuilding, and to Atletico, who looks already strong and as a unit.
Here's the thing with me though, Rio, that's a good point. I don't think they're looking at it, or at least I hope they're not thinking about it as who's going to replace Messi. I think just as with any great player, you're going to have to delegate what he could do onto maybe three or four different players. So I look at a guy like Pedri, and obviously he's not Messi, but a lot of his passing attributes are definitely as progressive and definitely as kind of cutting edge as Messi is. And I mean, if you can get a guy like Depay, once Messi, say, goes out, if in 3-4 years, Depay becomes kind of that player that a lot of people thought, especially United thought at the time, then it's like, well, he picks up a little bit of the load of the scoring from Messi. He picks, you know, you get a couple guys contributing. Okay, he picks up the load from Messi.
Still a dead squad. It's not going to be there's still Ansu Fati. There's still that. Like, Barca's young development can save them. Yeah, like, Barca's young development can save them. But let's be real here. Like, they're not going to be gelling in just as quick as Madrid is. Like, Madrid has already been making the moves for the last 2 years since Ronaldo left. Like, they've had more time, and they're definitely going to have more money as well. Like their contract situations with players are just going to keep growing and keep growing. Like, they're already paying Messi 700 million over the next, what, 3-4 years? Like, dude, like he's going to retire after, and like, they're going to be in huge amounts of debt. Like, they are.
I agree with that for sure. But I don't think we are in a position to say that Madrid has a crazy amount of money, because they're selling some of these guys. I mean, Ramos on a free and all that. And I think also Madrid hasn't had the youth guys develop the way they probably thought they would.
Hey, they're still making more advanced moves, in my opinion, than Barca is. Barca's picking up Aguero. Obviously, a really good player, but he's 30.
That made no sense.
He's picking up that. They're picking up Mendes.
We need center back. He was
old. I don't know about that.
Look at this. Look at Barca's business comparative to Real Madrid's. Real Madrid might be selling players, but they're still getting money. Barca keeps getting players and putting that, like, their weekly transfer, like a wage bill, up and up and up. They're going to be losing so much money with those players. Obviously, Memphis is younger, Aguero's older, and you still got Griezmann, you still got Ansu Fati, you still got Dembele, you still got Messi. How do you line all of them up? How do you keep them happy when you can't even pay them?
So then what happens with
Real Madrid? Madrid's has a better
money then, in terms of who are they going to bring Real in? They can't bring in Mbappe, for example.
Real Madrid's money still goes to the best young talents in the world who are going to come up. In the next 2 years, right, you're going to see people gel into their squads and stuff like that. And then after they might win something or do a great accolade, Madrid comes knocking. And out to Madrid, and Madrid has that firepower of a squad that you always expect Madrid to have. In my opinion, they're doing better business than Barca will ever do. In my opinion, Florentino, although he's tyrant-led, he has
a vision. He's not tyrant-led. My man works for free. My man works for free.
Yeah, because he enjoys what he does. He enjoys what he does.
He sucks at soccer, though.
He enjoys what he does, but guess what? Like, he's literally the one reason that Madrid have had that success, bro.
I think
his ambition.
I think you've made a couple of good points. I think for me, though, I still need to see Barca in terms. They've done the buying part, I think, not that bad. Like, I like Eric Garcia. I like bringing in Depay. Those are progressive moves. But they need to get a good fee, for example, for a guy like Griezmann, who's obviously not in their future plans. They need to get a fee in for, you know.
Well, maybe they might not even get a fee for Griezmann. You saw they're trying to trade him.
Yeah, they are trying to offload, I heard, just to get him off wages. But, you know, it's tough. It's tough. Both of these clubs are in the mud, though, I agree. And I think the question was more so which one is less in the mud. And
Madrid.
I guess in more control of their future would be Madrid. So let's move on from there into. Damn, should we go into it already? Let's fucking do it. Let's talk about a topic that Olu wanted to bring on. And again, like I said, as always, if you want to come on the clean sheet, let us know. Let Rio know. Just make sure you got some subjects ready, because this right here is going to be fucking brilliant. We want to know who or I guess which are the best fullbacks in the world football. And as well, I also wanted to ask or add on to that as well, another layer for it, is kind of just about the fullback position as a whole. Are fullbacks becoming the most important position in world football? And if not, you know, let us know why not. So I want to start with Rio. You seem a little tight over there. I want to get you just chill. You know what I mean? Let's see what you got to say. I want to get your opinion on it.
We have to start off with the term fullbacks, right? Alludes to both sides of the pitch. So we have to break this up into two different things, because otherwise we're going to be here for hours talking about who's the best fullback in the world. Let's start off with left backs, and then we can transition to right backs. So for our left back position, off current basis, this is quite tough. But off recent performances and like the last season for sure, Luke Shaw has to be one of the top at the list, in a sense. At the top, I'm not ranking order in a sense right now. That's for more up to you guys and stuff like that. But Luke Shaw has an amazing season. To be honest, I mean, look, I get it. But
just throw it in there. If you're wrong, you're wrong. It's straight, bro. No one's.
So we're really gonna say that Luke Shaw's not okay.
No, I agree. I thought you were gonna say the best, and I was
no. I'm not saying he's the best, right? Obviously, he's not the best, but I'd say that Luke Shaw is definitely up there within the best.
A little bit of recency bias, but yeah, he's been good the last year and a half.
He's shown it. Like, I'd like to say as well that Andrew Robertson is definitely up there as well. Not the best as well.
Consistent, but his peak is not as good as the others, but consistent.
Let's see who else. I can't really think of anything else at the top of my head, but also Theo Hernandez, also really good, but like not the best. It's really hard for me to pick out a best left back due to the fact that there's not the most standout. Alfonso Davies is also
Davies for me has to be also. Again, what do you think,
Ferland Mendy?
Alexandro,
There you go, Ferland Mendy, really good as well. Alexandro is not.
I think he's definitely on the wrong. Like, if we ask this question, maybe 2 years.
Side of top five, the wrong side of the right side of top 10.
He was in the top three, top five, though. A couple years ago, he looked like one of the best coming out.
Maybe. And I personally just don't think that, like at least left backs in the world right now, like, there's no clear best.
Yeah, there's no clear best.
There's no clear best because they each just have like their downfalls, and like you can just see it game by game. Like, a lot of fullbacks just have like their downfalls because like they're like it's the most important position on the pitch, in my opinion, because like you're supporting so much on the wings. Like, your job is to support the midfield, the left midfielders and the right midfielders, but also bomb forward and deliver crosses. And you honestly don't see the best rates from most fullbacks like in this day of age, because like there's so many different sort of play styles. There's more like defensive fullbacks, there's more attacking fullbacks. Like, you never really know. It's depending on the formation, the day, and you know, and there's some wingers who actually play fullbacks, and like when you play like a 3-5-2 or five back. So it's such a versatile position for like many different players that I can't say that there's an outright best. It honestly just depends on the day.
Okay, so then real quick, not as lengthy as that, but give me then right backs, because obviously that's let's be honest here, the best fullback, in my opinion. Like, the right back is just so much more crowded than the left back. Yeah. Like, in the left back, I think there's maybe just like two or three guys that have a say as best fullback. Right back, you probably have like six, seven, maybe
there's
10 guys.
There's a bit of a list. It depends who plays. Your list should start off with your basically your English fullbacks. Your Kyle Walker, Reece James, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Juan Bissaka. Moving on from that sort of group, I guess. Like, but those are not like top five. Like, some guys there can be enter top five, some guys can't. But your right back should definitely consist of, in like different leagues, Danny Carvajal should top that list. He's a top five fullback. I don't care what anyone here says, he is proven.
Wait, who? What, my bad, I didn't hear. Danny
Carvajal.
Oh, okay. Top five
proven fullback. Yes, 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 and yes. Let's see. I'm forgetting more and more fullbacks. Hakimi counts as well. I can't even think. Like, my mind is so crowded with the amount of fullbacks in my head.
There is. Honestly, in my opinion, right, I'm going to let go Olu do his fuck Trent tirade after this. But in my opinion, right, I think the best fullback I get Kieran Trippier is great. I get a lot of these guys. Dude, are great.
That's insane. I don't actually think that.
I'm saying it because some people want to agree. I'm not going to go into that. I think really when it comes down to the best right backs, obviously Kimmich is not a right back anymore because there'd be no question.
Isn't he like a natural like CDM?
Yeah, he's a CDM now and he's transitioned over the last 2 years. I think it's a great time to be alive because I think the three best right backs probably come from the Prem teams, and we're talking about Walker, we're talking about Trent, and we're talking about Reece. Here's the thing, bro. Because no one else is going to make the case for Trent, I'm going to make it. I don't necessarily think he's the best fullback in the world. Like I said earlier, I think Hakimi or Alfonso Davies is probably still there. I think there's so much recency bias when it comes to, oh, well, who was the best guy over the last 6-7 months? It's not like that, bro. It's a little bit more sturdy than that. And I know Rio touched on that for sure. When we look at it, right, Trent I'm going to talk about the defensive side of it. But Trent, obviously, last season had 13 assists, which is only 7 off the record set by Thierry Henry. And that's a fullback that's making it. Obviously, he's not your conventional fullback. And Rhea, I want to hear your thoughts later on about, is the fullback the most important position in the world? Because I definitely think now it is. It's the most dynamic. It really is about the system, right? Like, it's not like there's a clear-cut best, because if your system needs a more attacking fullback, then this is the best guy in the world for you. But, like, if you want more defensive or two-way guy, then there's a guy in the world for you as well. But I mean, let's look at, right, like, I know I'm not going to bombard with stats or anything, because I've seen the eye prowess, but I know everyone wants to show how, oh, you know, Trent got bossed by Neymar, this or that. But let's look at some actual cold hard facts, right? Because this is in tackle success rate. I don't think this is like a minute stat or anything, right? Kyle Walker was 20th. Aaron Wan-Bissaka was 28th. Luke Shaw was 14th. He's good. Trent was 8th, bro. Do we want to know where...
Who was first?
I believe it was Bissouma.
Fair. Okay.
Yeah.
Wait. And, like, for fullbacks?
No, this
like
is all players. This is all players.
Can I guess what Reece James was?
Yes.
He was 32nd.
Higher.
Oh, wow. I guess maybe 25th?
No, my bad. I meant lower. Do you want to know where Reece James was? He was 90th with a 38% tackle success rate. Now, a tackle success rate is... Okay, so you let me know, bro. On tackles plus interceptions, this is straight up. And this is not a fake stat, because Wilfred Ndidi was 3rd. And we all know who Wilfred Ndidi is. Conte is by far the best DM in the world. He was 6th on that list, which means, you know, he does his shit. Aaron Wan-Bissaka was 5th. Kyle Walker was 163rd, and Trent and Reece, who everyone says are miles different in defensive work rate, they're separated by 2 spots. Reece James is 44th, Trent is 42nd. My point is, he's not an unbelievably great defender, but he's getting better by year. If you look at his stats per year, he's getting better and better. He was terrible in 17-18, improved on it 18-19, improved in 19-20, and then this year, where his attacking output wasn't as good, his defensive work was actually very, very good. He, to me, in my opinion, he still made the England squad in a team where a lot of people thought he shouldn't, which is ridiculous. And he's still by far the best attacking fullback in the planet for me. I'm not going to make the case he's the best. He definitely was 2 years, like a year and a half, 2 years ago. But there's no reason why this man should be getting slandered, bro. He's a good defensive fullback and an amazing going forward fullback. He's compared to KDB when we're talking about chance creation. He's obviously not KDB, but he's compared to those guys. To me, as a fullback, I think he's good. He was playing along makeshifts. Every other week, he was playing with a different center back partnering. Some weeks, it was Nat Phillips and Reece Williams, guys who have never even played in senior level. And he still had to go out there and put a shift. And so I'm going to give props to Reece James for sure. He's definitely, I think, in terms of two-way, he's maybe the best in the Prem, because he's intelligent, he's dynamic, he can go forward, he can come back. But I don't think a guy like him and Trent are miles different in terms of defensive output like football Twitter would make you think. So that's it. I'm not going to scream or shout about it. Olu, I want to hear what you got to say, my man.
Now, he's brought up facts. Statistics.
Wait. Turn your voice up a little bit.
Can you hear me now? Or
yeah, we can hear you.
All right. He's brought up facts, statistics, and a plethora of different info. One thing he hasn't acknowledged is agenda and ignorance, which is what I'm breaking. All right. So 13 assists. All this. I don't care how many assists you have in the league. He made Vinicius look like prime Ronaldinho. The way he was getting bullied.
I think it was the first leg. The first leg?
Vinicius scored 2 goals in the first leg.
He had 3 with a stick. Oh my. And then don't even get me started on that one performance in the league. Like, I think he had like 39 misplaced passes or something. Like, it was just, oh, if he couldn't I know his set pieces and his crossing is OP. I know he's very good going forward. But if he couldn't cross, he'd be flipping burgers in McDonald's. You can't tell me otherwise. He's a fraud.
This guy, bro.
He's an English ballerina that can cross the ball. Anyway, you know what? Let me just actually, I'll drop the agenda for now. Can I go with
give me your fullback, you clown? What's the best fullback in the world?
So left backs, whatchamacallit? Who's the Italian? I'm not saying that he's like
top. You talking about Di Lorenzo or Spinazzola?
The one that got injured, that couldn't play in the final.
Yeah, Spinazzola.
Yeah, he was quality.
He was playing really good. He's playing really good. He looked really good. I mean, is that your pick?
No. It's not my pick. It's not. But you know, given
bro, you got a fat ass agenda.
That's a fat agenda, bro.
I'll put it aside. Luke Shaw.
Fair enough, I guess.
Bro.
Okay, Olu, we're gonna let Jeremy go because I want
to
get Jeremy's.
Let me come back to left back. Let me just go to right.
I'm in right, bro.
Yeah, let's get Jeremy's opinion in here real quick because I we haven't heard from Jeremy in a minute, unfortunately. Jeremy, what's the best fullback, real quick and simple?
I gotta go with my dog, Del Hernandez, Hakimi. Fucking love them, bro. Yeah. They're both so good going forward. They got the pace to backtrack, which sometimes you know they push forward a little too much, and if you don't have the speed, bro, you're gonna get fucked up. That's what makes guys like them so good. Alfonso Davies. Trent's pretty good at that too, just because he's got the pace to keep up with them. Definitely Hakimi and Hernandez. And you guys didn't mention Cancelo, bro. I'd be loving Cancelo.
Oh, wow. I forgot him.
Loving Cancelo. Isn't he a right back, though?
Yeah,
we're talking about fullback.
We're talking about fullback.
He might. You know what? Now that I think about it, I don't know if he's better if I'd put him over Davies.
Thing is, he's not a natural left back. But he's good at the left back.
Oh, you know? Cancelo's the only person on that list who can play both sides.
Yeah, he can.
That's also to be said is pretty impressive. He's getting better defensively as well because he was a little bit suspect.
Oh, and Ferland Mendy can play both sides as well. Only two can play both sides. They're actual I'm not fullbacks.
Ferland Mendy in the discussion, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he definitely should be.
He should be, but
he's top 10, wrong side of top 5.
Oh, okay.
The problem with him is that he just doesn't learn to use that left foot, bro. That man comes in and instead of crossing with that left, he just starts cutting in, bro, as if he doesn't have a fucking rocket for a left foot.
He has both feet. He knows how to use both.
That's some good shouts, definitely, Jeremy. And I mean, I don't know. You know what? Let's throw someone in there as well. Maybe the last topic that we're going to talk about then. So who do you think will be the best right fullback this season? Who will have the best season out of the fullbacks?
Danny Carvajal.
Okay,
he's
wow.
Healthy.
He's healthy. That's a big pick. Jeremy?
I'm going to go with Hakimi. If they don't play with, you know, wing backs, which I don't. I'd still consider him a fullback. He's a wing back.
Yeah.
Oh, then he's definitely going to have the best season out of all of them. Look at the service he's giving the ball to.
He's going to be great. He's going to be good. That's definitely my pick. I also, no joke, I actually could see Trent coming back and reasserting himself. So, Olu, who's going to have the best fullback season this year? Who's going to be the best fullback this year? Is it going to be Reese continuing off of his 20-21?
Either Kyle Walker. Whatever. You guys can hear me?
You were just breaking up, but I heard Kyle Walker and Reece James for those who did it.
And I also heard Trent Alexander and Shaw.
Hey, blasphemous.
If Olu said it, it would happen, bro. No, Olu just admitted it.
I didn't name that English ballerina on my list. I don't
man does already a Champions League winner. I'm finished.
That's facts, bro. He has one under average year.
When you win, Riazzo, when you win a CL final against Spurs, it does not count.
Unfortunately, bro, it does. Okay. Unfortunately, bro, everything that led up to that one moment does, unfortunately. Okay. I can't deny that. Unfortunately.
They robbed Lions.
But we had some other topics on here, but honestly, we're going to have to go ahead and cut out since we are running for a bit long. Olu and Jeremy, it's been great having you guys, honestly. Definitely Olu, you know, a lot of his shithousery, definitely acceptable. And Jeremy, of course, again, coming in cool, calm, and collected. So definitely would love to have you guys on here another time. But that's it. Do we have any closing remarks before we sign off?
You guys, it was great being on the clean sheet.
That's fire. So yeah, that's gonna be it then. This has been your boy Prince Enrique Rio.
What's up, y'all? Glad you guys would enjoy this episode. We'll have more guests on soon. Just let us know, please.
We got some big planned, actually.
Don't forget to check out Rio's other podcast. He's gonna be talking about saving the world.
Oh my god, the what is gonna be the Oedipus Complex? Is that gonna be the name of it?
No, I don't know, man.
Jeremy, thank you for joining as well. Any last points?
Nah, I love you guys. You know, take care. Have a good weekend.
No Shoes All Complex. That's the name of it.
That's facts. No Shoes All Complex. And Olu, any closing remarks?
Thank you guys for the opportunity to be on here. What's gonna call it? I'm sorry about the left neck thing. Like, I had a brain fart, but yeah, shout out to Alfonso Davies, Andy Robinson, and obviously, you know, I'm gonna put agenda aside. You know, Trent is a good player. So, yeah.
Y'all slept on Zinchenko too, bro.
Zinchenko too, yeah.
I don't know.
He's a little bit more of a midfield nowadays. But yeah, that has been it. That has been it from the clean sheet here. As again, thank you guys for joining in. And be on the lookout. The clean sheet 8 should actually be a pretty big one. If not, it'll be the clean sheet 9 with the PL review. And me and Rio have been talking about some plans for that. So be on the lookout. This has been the clean sheet. And we are...